Yeah, okay. I think we were up to Tiferet Chet Noshea. But yes, at this point, some of the themes are going to overlap. So Chet starts off with the enemy coming. Because even though the Jews seem to be changing a little bit or something like that, it's not full tshuva, right? So it's Elchicha Shofar Kanesher al bayit Adonai Yan Avruv Ritiv al Torati Pasha'u. So put a horn to your mouth, a shofar, right? Because obviously that's the symbol of battle and also the symbol of tshuva, right? Meaning all that imagery, like an eagle or a griffin vulture over the house of God, right? Meaning there is, right, the griffin vulture, whatever, right? I mean, there's going to be an attack on the Beit HaMikdash because they violated my brit. And this is it. It's not Rome. No, no, no. No, it doesn't. No, no, no. This is way, 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 way too early. Come on.
And is
Lee.
battles and tshuva supposed to be related through the shofar?
What?
Are there connections between battle and tshuva?
Presumably, yeah. I mean, definitely in Chazal's thought, there is. Li Yizakol Elohai Yidanucha Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael, now this is the interesting thing. This is why I say that it's about partial tshuva. Right, is that God says the Jews are calling out to me. Right, they're calling out to me and they're saying, we're devoted to you, we know you. But Zanach Yisrael Tov, Oyev Yerdofu, but they reject what's good, so an enemy will pursue them. Right? Meaning God says it's true. At some level they're calling out to me, but they don't really care about the good, right? And this is a theme we've seen many times in Neviim Acharonim, right? That it's not just enough to just say, you know, not to say it, right? You need to, right? There's certain commitments that you actually need to express. So in Dalet through Vav, we find out that, and this is specifically Yisrael, is that they've been sinning with the Agalim, right? Hem imlichu v'lo mimeni, hesiru v'lo yadati, kasbamos avazula hem atzabim lamani karet. They've made kings, but without my, right, sanction, without a navi, they made officers without my knowledge, and presumably part of it is not just that I didn't know, right, but that I don't agree with, and they're now, or you say that, look, yes, the kings were, Hashem did appoint some of them, but the point is he appointed them on condition, and right, they're not living it up to it, so it's as if it's not, or something like that. And their gold and silver they use to make idols, and this is where you get that imagery of Yeravam. So that, and that's their, their own undoing. Now, the question is who's going to be destroyed because of this? So, one possibility is the kings, meaning it's talking about Yeravam for having built it. The other policy is the consequence for Israel for having participated in this. Zanach Eglech Shomron Harapi Bamad Matai Lechloni Kayon. Right, so he rejects your calf, Shomron. And God is angry at them. Right, meaning for how long won't be okay with purple? At the people. Right, meaning you've tried to replace God basically with these egg with the Agalim, and God says that's not how this works. Right? And therefore, right, and again, this is the comment we said before. It's not that you're not doing tshuva; it's just not real tshuva, right? It's not nikayon. You don't get purity. Kimi Yisrael v'hu charasha sa'u v'lo Elohim hu Yisrael v'yeh egel shomron. Right? You did it, but it's not a god, right? And it's going to be reduced to splinters, right? Meaning that is going to be part of the destruction. Or it'll be burnt, right, according to the Ibn Ezra. But the point is, it'll be destroyed because, and it can't save you and it can't save itself. Okay, so then in Pasuk Zayin, through Yudalid, now he says, and therefore, right, despite what you said that you know me, you didn't, you forgot me, and this is the punishment. Ki ruach Yisro v'sufata yiktzoru. Kama ein lo semach li yasa kemach ulay yasa zarim yivlo'u, right? They sow wind. Right? Meaning the mashal, meaning that you, right? You think you're planting, but nothing's going to grow. Right? And again, throughout Tanakh, obviously, the ability to rain and agriculture, sexual agriculture, that's all seen as the bracha and the condition. And he says, and if you do produce anything so that others will eat it, which is obviously part of the curses like we have in Dvarim, right? So either you won't have anything grow, and if you do, someone else will eat it. Nivla Yisrael, atayu vagoyim kichli ein chefetz bo. The Jews are, absorbed or destroyed or whatever amongst the nations like a vegetable that no one wants. Kihema alua, right now, what is he saying? He's saying, look, because this is part of this political problem, is that instead of God, they've tried to make alliances, right? But nobody wants you, right? He's saying part of it is your own problem, is you're running back and forth. Ashur Mitzrayim, Ashur Mitzrayim. No one wants you, right? You should have turned to me. Kihema alua shur, perabo didlo, Ephraim itnu avim, right? You went up like a lonely, donkey to Ephraim, right? You tried to make friends. And right while you're courting the nations, I'm going to be punishing you, right? That's how the Radak understands it, right? Meaning you're trying to make friends with them, and I'm going to make sure that instead they all gather together to punish you and send you in galut. Like, that's your punishment. It's mida keneged mida, right? You thought that instead of trusting God, you trust in these other nations, right? And he says, besides for that, you do all this stuff with this, right? You have all these mizbechot. Hereby, Ephraim mizbechot lachato, yel mizbechot lachato. You have all these sinful altars. Echtav lo rube torati kemozar nechshavu. And all the teachings that I have for you, right? What you should have been doing is keeping the Torah, and you just, that's strange to you, right? Instead, you like build all these... Mizbechot zivchei havhavi yizbechu v'asar v'yochelu Adonai lo ratzam atay yizkor abonam v'yifkod chato tamim mitzrayim yashuvu. Right, and you are going to, right, you bring these korbanot to me, but, right, like, I don't want them, but this is just like food, right? I don't need them. And again, this idea, you see it in Yeshayo, that God says, I don't want korbanot. That's not what it's about. It's not what it's about, right? Right, you have it all through the Nevi'im, right? This theme comes up over and over again. Vayishkach Yisrael adoseyu, vayiven echalot yudar ve'arim b'tzuro, v'shalachti eish barav v'achlar menotea. Because you've ignored your maker, right? And you've built temples and fortified cities, so I'm just going to set fire to them and consume your fortresses, right? Meaning, I don't understand what you want from me, right? What I want is for you to change, and you think that what change... is just bringing more karbanot and turning to God sort of half-heartedly, but that's not what it is. Right? It has to be that you actually trust in me instead of these nations, and you're not actually worshiping Avodah Zarah, and you have to stop trusting in human beings. Right? It's not just enough for you to to say, oh, God, doesn't work that way. Okay, so now I think we have time for more prakim, right? I mean, again, these themes, you are right, they do get repetitive. So Perek Tet is the Galut itself. Right? So Perek Tet, finally you hear, and he says the consequence is going to be there's Galut, you won't have food, and then in, you know, the most painfully ironic Mida Kenegan Mida is that you are going to return to Egypt, right? Which, right, you're going to Egypt, so I promised you would never go back to Egypt, you will, and be punished by Ashur. Right, what?
You want it so much?
Correct, you want it so much, I'll give it to you. And then, of course, he's going to critique them bringing Karbanot. He's going to talk about the fact that the Galut is not just going to be Galut, there's going to be the death of children. Right, and it's going to be bad, right? Bad, right? So now he says, Al tismach Yisrael gil kamim kizanitim elohecha hafta etanana kol derno degan. Just, please don't be happy. Right? Don't be happy because, again, the mashal over and over of Znut, which here is either Avodah Zarah or the fact that you went to the other nations instead of to God, you are committing adultery against your God, right? Just, you know, you have no reason to be happy, right? You loved Etnan, right? That's the language obviously borrowed from Etnan Zonah, from the payment of a Zonah. You love the harlot's fee, right, for every threshing of new grain, meaning basically anyone who you thought could help you, you went to them, right? It's like paying a prostitute. But there's no real commitment, right? To whoever you think can help you. And therefore, the threshing floor and the wine press, they shall not join me, and they will betray you, right? That's your punishment, is that you, anyone who would help you, went to, fine, then you are committing adultery against me, fine. I will make sure that the threshing floor itself will commit, right, will betray you. They just won't produce food. Lo yishvu be'eretz Adonai v'shav Ephraim Mitzrayim v'ashur tamei yochel. You will be sent back to Egypt, and you'll eat unclean food in Ashur. And of course, right, again, saying that you go back to Mitzrayim is a damning thing, and it's in Dvarim, right? That's the curse. Ve'shivcha Hashem Mitzrayim, right? That's the punishment, it's the kiyum of that. And you're going to be sent to Ashur, right? So it's also like religiously, you're not going to be able to, right, succeed. That's how bad it is. Right? And you're not going to be able to offer libations, right? You're not going to be able to bring karbanot. You're going to be eating like mourners, right? Because everything's going to be tame, and you can't come to Beit Hashem, right? It's like this anti-Beit Hashem, right? If you didn't want me, fine. Go. You're going to eat tuma, meaning the things you couldn't eat when you're in the Beit Hashem. Like, you are going to be, it's not just you won't be in the Beit Hashem. Like, I am making it that your life is like, looks like the anti-Beit Hashem. And he says, Mata asula yom oed, uyom chagag Adonai. And what exactly are you going to do? Right? You're going to be asking yourself on the Shalosh Regalim, what am I supposed to do? These festivals of God, Kineal Chumi Shon Mitzrayim Tikapteim. Mof Tikapre Machmad Likaspam Kimosh Yir Hashem Choach Baalehem. Right, because right, you know, you're going from destruction, right, with the silver that you treasure. Mitzrayim is going to hold on to you. Mof will hold them in burial. So this is probably a city, right, in Mitzrayim, like Memphis or something like that, right? Meaning you're basically just going to be buried in Mitzrayim, right, and be inherited by, and right, and your own whole your old homes will be taken over by thorns. They'll inherit them, right? Bo yimei ha'pekudah, bo yimei ha'shilum, yedu Yisrael evil ha'navi mishuga, yisha ruach harova ne'ech avara mas tema. So the days of punishment have come for your guilt. The days of, right, of requital have come. Let you know it. Right, and the prophets are distraught. They've been driven mad. Right, they've been driven mad.
What's the point of getting nevuah if it's just guaranteed that it's going to happen?
Like, so that's always the thing, is that the nevuah are not guaranteed, right? Because it's not going to be sincere. Now, again, what exactly does it mean? So it's never quite clear. Is it that there's no way out, right? And therefore, it's just that God wants you to know in advance that this wasn't random, that God isn't abandoning you, right? That's what you have in I always get the exact pasuk. Second. Ki yesh. Right, meaning you get this in a lot of things, right? I mean, you get this idea in Yechezkel, right? The idea that part of the reason Hashem has to tell Yechezkel what's going to happen is simply so that when it happens, the Jews don't say, oh, God's given up on us, right? Rather than, no, this is God punishing us. There's a difference between being abandoned and being punished. Or it could be that this is all contingent. Sofa Ephraim im Elohaina v'ipach Yakosha kol rachav mastema beveit Elohav. And Ephraim is, or the Nevi'im going to Ephraim, as they have in Dot Mikra, they're looking for God. Or Ephraim is being looked for. Right? And what he finds is snares, right? I mean, that's what he finds, that they're trapped, right? Even right in the house of God. Because their corruption is so deep, like the days of Giva, right? Which is, of course, horrible, right? Pilegish Begiva. Right, probably. I think. Yeah, Pelagish Begibba, right? Meaning, you're as bad as them. And that was, you know, bad. That was really, really bad because that was in Melch Israel. That was, you know, gang rape, which led to civil war. I mean, right, you're the worst of the worst. Right, I found you. And God says, like, it's such a shame. I used to find you pleasing like grapes in the wilderness. Right? Right? Meaning, you know, I'm starving and then I find you. Like, you are my, right, refreshing, the first fig. And then, you know, this is, and this is classic in the VM. Once they're bad, it's like, this has always been that way. Right? He said, yeah, you went to Baal Peor. Right? Like, all the way back in Chumash, you know, you worship Baal Peor. Like, this corruption, right? You were loved and you blew it. Yeah. Right? It makes it so sad. Ephraim ka'ovidoik vodam yilidam et marayon. Right? Your glory, like, flies away like birds from conception. Right? Meaning, it's, right, it's this, like, the language here is saying, like, right, and this, right, again, this is classic Chazal idea that if you cling to your father's ways, then you're punished. Right? Right. So you are acting exactly like your parents, and therefore I look at it as if you've been sinning since your right since then. Now, obviously, if you had taken a different path, I wouldn't look at it, but that's right, but that's not what's going on. And even if they raise their children, I will bereave them. Right, of men, right? Meaning, even if you manage to, they manage to survive young age, they'll die later on. And woe to them, because I'm going to turn away from them. And without me, what are they going to do? Ephraim, kasher ra'iti l'tzor shetula b'navev, Ephraim l'otziel horig banav. Right, Ephraim will end up going to, right, to Tyre, right? And they have, what? No, Tzor, right? It's another northern kingdom. It's a seafarers, and you know your children are going to right going to be killed, right? Meaning you're going to have all these different wars. Tain lahem Adonai mati tain lahem rechem maskil v'shadayim tzomkim. And now he turns them and he says, right, like the way Dot Mikra has is basically like the Navi is scared to say the words that he's about to say, and he just says, "Listen, God. The way you're talking, I'd rather them miscarry. Like, just make it their kids, their wives can't have kids. Like, what are you doing? You're making them die in torture. Like, if that's what it's going to be, just give them a womb that miscarries." Right? That's what he's saying. The Navi is turning and he's like, come on, right? Right? Let their breasts shrivel up. I mean, let them not, or let them die as little babies without the ability to nurse. But don't let them grow up and actually be cognizant of the hell you're going to put them through. Right? Kol ra'atam ba'gilgal, kisham senetim arom alayim yibeitiya garshem lo'osev avatam kol sarem zorim. Because everything began, all this torture began at Gilgal, where Malchut Yisrael, where the Malchut was founded, right, with Shmuel. Right, he's saying, and I hated them since then, right? Again, right, it's this retelling of the story, right? Professor Berman talks about this a lot, right? That it was totally standard in time of Tanakh that you retell a story in a different light based on your current situation. So, yes, at that point, it's true that God was angry that they wanted a king. But, like, in the end of the day, he gave them a king. And now he's telling them, right, it's... Though, to be fair, this is not actually such a retelling, because there God also said to Shmuel, it's not you they hate, it's me. Right, so he's saying, yeah, you've hated me for a very, very long time. Huka Ephraim, Shosham Yavesh, Pribal Yasun Gamki Yeledun Vaimati Machamadei Vitnam. You're stricken, withered, you can't produce fruit, and even if they do, I'll kill the children. Right? That's what he says. Yimasem Elohai Kilo Shamulo, but you know the Dimba Goyim. And God rejects them, and they're gonna end up wandering amongst the nations. Yeah. Great. Right, and we'll see that in Perek Yud, Now, again, I'll just point out that some of these themes are going to come up a lot later. Right, meaning, right. Obviously, there's a lot of repeats. Right, so for example, the issues that we saw in Perek Chet of not doing tshuva or doing a right, that's going to repeat itself in Perek Yud Gimel. The idea that God loves us and we've rebelled against him is going to come up, not surprisingly, over and over again. God asking us to do tshuva obviously is going to come over and over again. The idea that he sent Nevi'im and that we didn't listen to them, that's going to come up over and over again. And you'll see that these ideas are going to repeat. I really don't mind doing, a few prakim at a time, because these, at this point, they are... the next, Perek Yud has a different mashal. Mm-hmm. But some of the themes are going to be the same. But I guess we should stop with two prakim, yeah. All right.